This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Our national dish has now become extinct throughout the Bahamas.
Good evening, Bahamas. I'm Jimenita Swain. This is the Bahamas Tonight,
the national report. Restaurants are closing down and fishermen are going bankrupt. Environmentalists say that this is a catastrophe.
Like hot go. Only thing I be thinking is Henny and Scorch. Crack up and fritters and plenty of sauce. And when I'm done with it, just send me some more. But you saying no conk though. But I cannot believe it, just cannot perceive it. They gotta be lying. Look how baby see us for real. I like boy with the deal.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 21st of July, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. It's Culture Thursday today, and that song we opened the show up with is called Conk Gone by a medley of Bahamian artists. I think I heard MDs in there right as we were going, segueing out of the song. It's a really good song, and you could hear already that it's a blend of genres, which means it's a blend of generations, and that's the best way to get the message out there. As you heard, there was an oil spill in Exuma yesterday. I have some questions about that. And that's why I played the song this morning. We can get to that in a moment. But let me tell you what I hope unfolds today. What I have planned is a conversation with Ms. Shanti Seymour, who's a linguist at UB. And today, we are going to debate, or at least Ms. Shanti is going to tell us, I don't know if it's definitively, but from an expert, we are going to learn what is the proper way to spell the word bay, bay, mabay. What you saying? We have to, because maybe you're not aware, but there's a war brewing on Twitter, on Facebook, on social media for what is the proper spelling of the word bay. I've seen people threaten to revoke people their passport because they spelling it in ways that we are unfamiliar with. I got some other questions out there as well. We're going to look at what does yinna mean, sort of the roots of bay, where we find it around the world. And then I want to ask Ms. Seymour the question, how come we use burl, earl, and furl? So we can have some conversations about how we talk, how we spell, and where this, all of this came from. Where all this came from. But before we get there, I'm waiting to see if Ms. Seymour is in the... She is? Okay. Just a moment. We're going to get there. A lot of important things in the news. It's only going to be 2 minutes because I think this is going to be a great, great conversation. I want to start off by saying condolences to the family and friends of Father Fred Fleischer and also Mr. Gerald Higgs, known on social media as Kinu Higgs. Their passing has shaken the community. I just want to make this note. I knew Gerald not very, very well. Not very, very well at all. But I want to say this. Gerald was a fierce and loyal friend and defender of his friends and family. If ever you wanted somebody on your side, you wanted Mr. Gerald Higgs on your side. And so again, I say condolences to the family and friends of Mr. Gerald Higgs and Father Fred Fleischer. In the paper today, in The Guardian, there is a story on page 3. New bill aims to protect the mentally ill. Well, if ever there was a bill that required public consultation, this is it. This is one of those bills. This is one of those bills where you're going to need to. In fact, I think you as the state are obligated to ensure the greatest consultation, public consultation possible, and the widest stakeholder engagement possible, to the point where you need to expand your definition or your perception of what a stakeholder is. Just reading the article, I'm very concerned about the process. Well, not the process, the process. Very concerned, because this bill speaks to some things that in fact, I'm going to read it. The bill seeks to make provision for the protection and enforcement of rights of people diagnosed with or exhibiting symptoms of a mental illness, and provides parameters for use of experimental drugs and electroconvulsive therapy. Anyway, without any further commentary, I think that this bill, I think, is important for civil society to step up and ensure that the widest public and stakeholder consultation takes place. I think it's incumbent upon the Bar Association. I have to stop saying that, like, that's a real thing, you know? But, like, the legal community, the judiciary, really, we need you to step up and engage this process. This is the type of space where we need town hall meetings. We need virtual spaces where people can find the legislation, tune into conversations with lawyers discussing the legislation and experts in the field, complementary, right, at the same time. So we could better understand what the bill seeks to do, how it seeks to do it, and what is required of us, the public. Just a quick note from yesterday's news and show. I just wanted to ask the PHA, when you say, but we invite the Bahamian public to partner with you in the process of rebuilding and reimagining what PMH and PHA could look like and how they operate, I just want to say, I got a case of Band-Aids and a case of gauze for you. I got a case of Band-Aids and a case of gauze, because I couldn't imagine, other than all of the taxpayer dollars, right, that go into the consolidated fund, I couldn't imagine what more you need from me, the public, to fix PMH that has been falling apart for decades. Please don't suggest that these problems were exposed by COVID. Last note on the Exuma oil spill. I guess got a couple of questions. First off, is this the second spill that has occurred with the same facility in the same island, in the same area? Is this the second spill? See, because if this is the second spill and not the first spill, then we have a greater expectation in the response to this event, both from the state and the parties involved in the spill. Second point I want to make, for people suggesting that some of us in the public are making a big deal out of this, making a mountain out of a molehill, because, you know, diesel is lighter than bunker C, it ain't that bad. I just want to ask y'all something, because I'm out of the loop, obviously. Is this what Brave Davis meant when he said in opposition that he would support environmentally friendly oil drilling? Is this sort of what he meant? Tell me, because y'all sound like y'all know more than I know. Because neither bunker C nor diesel should be in the ocean in that form. It don't live like that there. It will have an impact. And I'm going to suggest this is a great moment to look at as an example of where politics consumes people and their ability to reason critically. any contaminant in the water can be detrimental to the entire ecosystem, marine ecosystem of the Bahamas, of the region, of the world. Yes, the ocean is large, and yes, God is all powerful. But the diesel will have a negative impact on the ecosystem. And you can't say what it is yet. We just have to wait and see. Like it seems we have to wait and see what the mitigation and cleanup protocols and processes will look like for the Exuma people. Three quick texts. Wow, we're going to get to these texts in a moment. Producer, let's bring in our guest. Good morning, Ms. Seymour. How are you?
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you?
I am good, thank you. And I am very, very excited for this conversation this morning.
Thank you much.
And so let us begin. Please introduce yourself. Tell us what you do.
Okay, so I am Dr. Shanti Seymour. I have been teaching at COB/UB since 96. I teach linguistics and I also teach English. I started off in education in 91, though. I taught French and Spanish at the high school level for 3 years.
Okay. So tell us, what is a linguist and what is linguistics?
Okay. So linguistics is the scientific study of language. And we use language very generally because, yes, it includes human language, the structure and use of human language. It includes spoken language as well as signed language. But we also include what we call animal communication systems. So people in anthropology and biology and other sciences, they also focus on ways in which animals communicate. And then more recently, we have computational linguistics, where the focus is on artificial language. So the fact that we can have Zoom, for example, toys that kids use with language. So linguistics is very, very comprehensive in terms of what it actually, what we actually study. So based on that, what we do as linguists too, you know, it will vary as well. So linguists like myself, we focus on education. So when you look at textbooks and dictionaries and teaching of English to English speakers or the teaching of French to English speakers, that's all, you know, the work of linguists putting together that kind of information. A lot of translations. Some people go into translations with respect to that. Mm-hmm. We also have psycholinguistics and the kind of the linguistics that deal with language acquisition. So speech pathologists, for example, linguists work with that. And as I said earlier, in terms of technology, we have the computationalist linguistics. And then we have sociolinguistics, which kind of focus on what we're going to do today. Mm-hmm. But we focus on the use of language. All right. So yes, this is what language is, but how are people using it? So that's what we look at as well.
Okay, this is awesome. I still stuck on animal communication because, first of all, I noted the pod cakes communicate with each other. They have a whole trash and pamper news network. Right?
I'm almost certain of it.
And in my neighborhood, there's a stray cat problem, and we're trying to feed one of the cats. And I realize that after the cat eats, it won't eat all the food, and it begins this meowing, but it's a weird meowing. And I realize that that cat is calling the other cats to tell them there's food here.
Yeah, so if you have linguists who actually focus on that, I'm sure they'll be able to find something. Wow. I didn't even talk about forensic linguistics, where a lot of linguists are called into court cases to focus on criminal cases as well.
Wow. Right. So in terms of career paths, there are a number of avenues or channels
a linguist
can go in. That's
definitely
awesome. Can I say, quickly, for a tourism industry, linguists are important, right? And the translation skills and being able to interpret and speak multiple languages is
that can be important, yes. But just to make note, linguistics isn't the study of foreign languages. So you can be a linguist and only know your native language.
I get you.
But
okay.
Knowledge of being multilingual, being a polyglot, some of your languages, yes, that would be a definite positive thing for the Bahamas.
All right, that is awesome. Okay, so before we get into what is the correct spelling of Bay, can I ask you to help us understand some terms? Some are basic, some not so basic.
Sure.
So let's start with standard English.
All right. So English is a language, and we have various types. So we have the prestige and the non-prestige. And the prestige language is the one we refer to as the standard. It is the one that's used in education. It is the one that's used in formal settings. It's the one that's used primarily in media because for practical purposes, it is the one that we say, okay, this is the norm, and then everybody can understand it, regardless of whether or not you are from that particular country. So the standard English is the prestige dialect in terms of pronunciation, in terms of word formations, whether it's how we form plurals, et cetera, sentence structure, as well as vocabulary. So that's what when we use standard English, people say things like good English, proper English. We don't use those. It just means that it is the prestige dialect. It's a social construct, not a linguistic one.
All right. So standard English is also a dialect.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, so fish and fishes, right?
Right.
Is fish the standard English plural of fish?
Yes.
And non-standard English plural of fish?
Yes. So if we, for example, we normally pluralize with the S or the ES. So right. Fish is an irregular form. So anything that goes counter to the standard would be considered non-standard. So it's really a neutral term,
okay.
But obviously in society, it's not neutral.
I guess
it's linguistically neutral, but not socially neutral.
Okay. Creole.
Creole is a language. So English is a language. Standard English is a dialect, but a Creole is a language. And I could do a whole show on what a Creole is. So I'll try to break it down as succinctly as I can. So in order for a language to be a Creole, it has to be mixed, meaning it has to come from two different languages. Those two languages have to be vastly different. So it cannot be, it's very rare, for example, to have a Creole based on French and English. That's not normally what we have. So a Creole is a mixed language. And then certain socio-historical situations had to have been in place in order for a Creole to develop. There has to be a hugely distinct power structure, as there was during slavery, or there has to be a huge those with less power in the system where language unable to understand each other and people are using one language and then dealing with the vocabulary of their new language. So the grammar of the old language kind of on, and then the new language, in order to communicate with the people with the power, you usually use their vocabulary. So that's very, very simplified, but that is a general sense of what a Creole is.
Okay, wow. Just a quick aside. I read this story 2 days ago. A Haitian DJ was traveling through Dubai. And in the airport, he hears a couple speaking Creole, and he knows what they're saying. He approaches them and realizes they're not Haitian. They're from the Seychelles Islands, right? That's off Africa, right?
Right.
Right. So they not only speak the same Creole, but when they shared pictures, the architecture and many aspects of the culture. And then we know our cousins to the north, the Gullah, the Gullah Geechee people. We also have very familiar and similar language, if not basically the same. How do these communities or how do these spaces develop the same language, but so far apart?
Okay, so as I said earlier, with regards to Creole, mm-hmm. There's certain situations that have to be in place.
Yeah.
The languages involved, as well as the socio-historical situation. So what that Haitian DJ was hearing was a French Creole called Seychelles mm-hmm. Chelois.
Okay.
So you have people who speak French Creoles all over the world understand each other in the same way that people who speak English Creoles all over the world, let's just think within the Caribbean itself, we understand each other.
Right.
All right. And linguistically, diffusion is the reason for that. Okay. So, so for example, very early on, and a lot of this took place very early on, when during slavery, for example, slaves were being transported from island to island. Mm-hmm. Territory to territory. All right. So that's one way in which that happened. Then, of course, after the slave trade, that happened as well. So the diffusion from very early on caused a lot of that. Also, with respect to what happens there is because of the socio-historical similarity in slave societies, you get what we call the Creole, and that is uniform, whether it's and English, a Creole being created from that, or French and African languages, as in Haiti, or mm-hmm. English and African, or the Bahamas, certain pan-linguistic processes go into the formation of a Creole, which is why in linguistics, we never talk about broken English, broken French, because it is such a complex coming together of languages that is universal, mm-hmm. whether it's French Creole, Dutch Creole, Portuguese Creole, etc., that it is the opposite of broken. It's really a coming together of two things as opposed to the breaking down of something.
Okay. All right. So I got a text here. Correct me to spell my boy in Bahamianese. Is my boy, M-A-I. And so the correct way to spell boy must, well, it can't be B-O-I.
Look, I know when you contacted me, yes. You know, the first thing I said was, oh, I see why there's a debate going on, because this is a tricky, tricky thing. And I'm going to try to explain it.
Okay,
so,
but hold on. I think we have to go to a break soon, right?
No problem.
We're at the half hour. Let me read some of these texts as the producer pulls up the music. And then when we come back from the boy to the boy. But I also have another pressing thing here. Two things. First of all, is ask a question proper English. And on each settlement in the Bahamas, everybody has a different accent or like a different dialect. For example, some people say Abaco and some people say Habaco. Some people drop the H and some people add an H where there was no H. So after we get into Bay, hopefully we have enough time to get into some of those questions as well.
Will do, and even some afterwards.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
No problem.
You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Now, my selection of music today, I have some Joseph Spence and some Frederick McQueen tracks. I want you all to hear how we used to talk and sing back then. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Sailing around the garden of old England. That was the old mod song when you're sponging and who make little rush.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
It's the most wonderful time.
Parents, it's that sweet time of year again.
The kids are going back to school.
So pick up your copy of the Nassar Guardians Back to School Supplement, because
it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Put your students in the latest styles at the lowest prices, because summer break is almost over and our Back to School Supplement is filled with brand name back to school supplies at discounted prices, store locations, hours, and contact details.
It's the happiest season.
Advertisers, Call the Nassau Guardian today at 302-2300 or call your account executive to get in on the 2-for-1 insertion deal. If it's uniforms, shoes, books, backpacks, calculators, art supplies, laptops, tablets, or whatever is on your back-to-school supply list, your ad should be in the Nassau Guardian's back.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
I used to think of the bank as my ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Pablo, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized 5% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly penny in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Free sailing over the harbor, run come see, run come see. Free sailing, run come see the Rosie. They was sailing down for Andras. Run come see, run come see. Sailing down for Andras. When they get to Andras.
Good morning, welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green on Guardian Radio 96.9. FM. My guest today is Ms. Shanti Seymour, linguist at UB, and we're talking about Bahamian English. We're talking about dialects, standard English, creoles, colloquialisms, why we speak the way we do, why we spell, and who brought the first film to the Bahamas. And I'm not making fun, right? I want you all to know I'm being a little bit jovial, we're cracking jokes, but I'm not making fun. The whole point of the conversation is to sort of create equity in language. Ms. Seymour, is that a fair thing to say? Does that sound in the linguist space?
Yes, that is the basic precept of linguistics, linguistic equality. We have differences, but all the same. They all do the same thing.
Right, and the most important thing is that you can communicate.
Exactly.
Right, but... We're not going to get into politics, not even the politics of language, not right now.
No, that's very, very, very complex, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I guess, Texas, I'm not going to forget to read your text, but I got a call on the line, Ms. Seymour. Let's go to this call, if you don't mind. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you, Sparky. How you do?
One of my problems was I must have been hard-headed or couldn't understand. When I was even going as far as the government high, I had problem with the English language. Mm-hmm. Maths and all those other things I could handle. But English, I couldn't understand some things as to why some words got some letters in them which you don't use.
Uh-huh.
Why they got some letters what they call a silent A. Silent what you put in there for in the first place. You know, if you ain't gonna use it, why are you gonna stick it in there?
Yeah.
Why is the word in American they see center?
Yeah.
Center, C-E-N-T-R-E. In English, C-E-N-T-E-R.
Right.
When I listen to Jamaicans, I mean, no people like that. But we all supposed to be talking English. But sometimes when Jamaicans talk, especially they talking fast, I don't understand a word they say. But they call that bat.
Right. And some of the words are the same, you know, like Benny, Jamaican and Bahamian.
Yeah, but okay, like sometimes when they write it or spell it, right?
Yeah, but Sparky,
the word... And the way it looks like no English.
How you spell boy? I
think boy is spelled B-E-U-Y.
B-E-U-Y, okay.
Boy.
I didn't have that on my list. Thank you, Sparky.
That's a new one.
I gotta go. I didn't have it on my list, but I've seen it. So thank you. Thank you very much, Sparky. Ms. Seymour.
Yes.
The people.
All right, so... Yeah. Every language has the same issue that the gentleman just talked about.
Right.
The reason we have spelling inconsistencies in languages is mm-hmm. because When pronunciations change, spellings don't necessarily catch up. So okay. A lot of what are called silent letters today were actually pronounced. I'll just give one example. Okay. N-I-G-H-T.
Uh-huh.
That used to be pronounced neat. That G-H had a sound. That symbol is no longer part of English. It's still a part of German, but it's no longer part of English.
Okay.
So, and if anybody who studied French knows that there are many many letters that you don't pronounce. Very few languages in the world would be called phonetic, mm-hmm. where the spelling looks like the way you actually say it. Spanish is one of the closest.
Right.
But what he's talking about is common in every language, which is why you have formal education to learn those languages, even if you speak it.
Right, because like the word Q is a setup. Why they need to line up all those other letters behind the Q if all you need is the Q? Anyway, the British people think they smart. They was going to trick me with that one, but they ain't going to trick me. Okay, so, boy, now here's my position. I have some Pan-African friends who said to me, spell boy, like the prefix, has to be B-H, right? It has to start with B-H because adding a H to the first consonant is a West African thing, and that our most of our language structure comes from West African cultures. So,
All right. So, the first, I want to say two things about boy. One, there's no question about the way it's pronounced. Phonetically. All right. Okay. So there's B, no H. There's what we call a schwa, an upside down lowercase E.
Uh-huh.
And then a Y. I said earlier that there are spelling inconsistencies in all languages. And because of that, we created this thing called the International Phonetic Alphabet. So we can spell any word in any language without there being any debate.
Okay.
So whenever you look in a dictionary, for example,
mm-hmm.
those symbols between slashes,
right?
They are examples of what we mean by the alphabet.
Okay.
However, we write, we spell words, right?
Right.
We don't use those symbols. So in terms of identifying how to pronounce, how to spell boy in regular spelling, the problem is not the B. The problem is the oi, the vowel.
Ah.
So BH. The H represents phonetically. So again, in my message to you, I pointed out that there's this overlap between phonetics and orthography, spelling and sound.
Right.
So that H isn't just there for spelling. That H is a phonetic representation of something called aspiration.
Okay.
That is not in Bahamian, that is not in English, produced there, despite being of West African origin. So we don't need the B. It's a very easy test to do it as well. You can just put a paper in front of your mouth and say boy,
mm-hmm.
and it should not move because the B is not accompanied by a puff of air, and that's called aspiration. But if you said toy and poi, even though they aren't real words, it's a purely scientific linguistic fact that we don't need the B, we don't need the H.
Listen,
because it represents aspiration.
If you weren't an expert, I would row with you. Because I am always frustrated and sighing when I say boy, boy, boy.
There's no accompanying H.
Okay.
Now, the problem, the issue is that oi. Why is that an issue? Because we don't have the English letters to represent the sound oi. That is the problem. So if I was talking to somebody in French, I could very easily spell boy for them because they have oi in the word an I, an oi. It's O-E-I-L. So if I gave a French person the word B-O-E-I or even B-O-E-I-L, mm-hmm. they will say boy, no problem, because they have that sound in their language. We don't have the letters for that in English, which is why we keep trying to figure it out. We know what it sounds like, so... It's something called a diphthong. It's the vowel plus what we call an off glide. And Bahamians have done a good job in trying to invent that. B-E-Y, the gentleman just now, what did he say? B-E-U-Y. They're all possibilities. And when I said to you it's tricky, mm-hmm. now that is what's not definitive. I cannot definitively say to you how the vowel would look. I can definitively say there is no H. Linguistically, scientifically, it's just not there.
Okay.
But the oi the oi is where we're having a problem because we don't have that representation in English. So when I say B-E-Y, I think bay. B-U-E-Y, it could be boy, but then is it also buey? So right. It's, yeah, so I can say to you that at this point, B-E-Y is okay. I think you can go with boy. Mm-hmm. For that, but the problem we will always have is with the vowel because we just don't have the letters to represent it.
All right, now are there any formations that just cannot qualify? Like I said, this debate started. Well, I saw a young man spell it B-H-A-I, and they tried to take his passport from him.
They don't need to do that, but that's way off. Yeah.
And so the EU is closer than the AI.
Yeah.
All
for
right.
Sure.
Okay. Wow.
Sure.
Okay. So I got a call on the line. Let's go to that caller. And then I got some text here about Bay and how people know it and used to spell it. And then maybe we could. Morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Caller, this is Doc in the voice.
Good morning, Bremen. How you doing?
Along with you, pretty.
No, you pretty eyes.
It's all about pretty you.
How you spell Bay Bremen?
B-U-Y. Here it is. You don't put the E in there because and by the way, lady, that lady or a smart lady, you doesn't put the two vowels together because if you put the two vowels together, it would be diphthong. You see?
Spell that. Just say that again.
If you put the E and the U together, It would be diphthong.
Discounted.
Say it again?
You said diphthong.
Like she said earlier. Right, it would be diphthong, you see?
All right.
So you pronounce, you spell it the way you pronounce it, boy.
But I say bye when I spell when B-U-Y.
That's what you said?
B-U-Y is bye, isn't it?
No,
yeah.
Boy. You see, you pronounce it, boy. You pronounce it, boy.
But I would pronounce it, boy. I got you.
B-Y, buy.
B-U-Y as well, when you buy something from the store.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Raymond.
You're welcome. Right.
Thank you very much. All right. So let's get to some text quickly. Good morning. I can clearly remember about 14 years ago, a lady ragging me on Facebook, another Bahamian term, which means rough me up and chastise me greatly about my use of Bahamian dialect. And now all I could see is Americans leaving out the G on words, on word endings, their prolific use of that, this, ting, and day. I feel vindicated.
As I mentioned earlier, socially, we'll always have that issue. There will always be people who are what we call language purists. They have this misunderstanding of what language is. They genuinely believe that standard English is better than other forms of English. But the reality is, even those people, they use a lot of non-standard features. If they were recorded and played it back, they would be surprised. One of the reasons is just naturally the brain kind of shuts down. We pronounce certain things consistently. We strain our vocal cords, and biologically that's not good. So whenever people are, in debates and things, they have a glass of water next to them, things like that. So yeah, I have my students. I'm a social media person, but my students tell me all the time that there's a lot of use of Bahamian Creole now on social media.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a language purist. You were talking about me and some other people that came from QC, And you know about us like that. But I agree. And so tell me, am I being a purist? Am I being too hard? Do I need to lighten up and catch myself? And am I discriminating against people because I refuse to accept fishes as plural, right? There's some things that I grew up learning. And so for me, if you say fishes, I just want to ask you what happened to you?
Yeah, so
But yeah, that, I'm so the wrong one, right?
Yeah, no. So what I always say to students, particularly because in my linguistics classes, I teach a lot of future English teachers. Mm-hmm. So you always have to stress to them that it's about the target language. So in English classroom, if the target language, meaning you're teaching standard English, then when you're grading papers, when you are having a discussion, then you want them to use the standard. Yes. For the simple reason that in the same way that you go into a French class so that, or Spanish class, so that you can know your English, but you also know your French and Spanish, that Bahamian Creole speaker, that Bahamian dialect speaker, you want that speaker to also know standard English, because mm-hmm. we will use it. We're going to have to use it at certain points. Many of us have gone off to university. At some point, we're going to have to not use the Bahamian so much if we want to be understood. So my issue with language purists is the attitude of the one where there's mm-hmm. this idea that there's only one right way of speaking. And then one other thing about standard English is, was so funny, is there is no standard English. It actually doesn't exist. There are multiple standard Englishes. Mm-hmm. Because what is standard British is not standard American.
Right.
All right. Standard Australian, standard Bahamian, standard Jamaican. So that's, again, we can go about it.
And we see that with the spellings of color and center.
Yeah. Not only the spelling, the way they pluralize, the way they form questions, things like that.
Okay. Yeah. My producer is signaling another break is coming up. Caller, if you could hold the line until after the break. And then this the question of language purity or purist is ask a question, proper English. Because my mother chastised me greatly about saying ax, and it was one of my biases, right? But I've come to learn that pronunciation, is that correct, is Old English.
Yep.
Right. Okay, so we got to go to a break. This is more, this is Ancient Man, the Boogeyman, but he says it the Boogeyman, right? Which is another language thing. Anyway, you're on the clock with Darren Green and Ms. Shanti Seymour. We will be right back. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Oh, live and daddy, things were so nice. They had the separate deep turn tonight. That's when I need to salt in the fire. And all of a sudden, my booger man rise up. Oh, the booger man, booger man.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Feel the glory of the 2022 World Athletics Championships in Eugene, Oregon. Feel the glory as Team Bahamas strides for gold July 15th through 24th. The World Athletics Championships, 10 days, 2,000 athletes, over 200 countries battle for supremacy. Join Guardian Bates on Team Bahamas at the World Athletics Championships at Track City, USA. Brought to you by Fidelity Bank Bahamas and by PowerAid, distributed by the Caribbean Bottling Company. Feel the glory at the World Athletic Championships 2022.
Shawnee Miller-Weaver opens the throttle and comes down the home stretch with a commanding advantage.
The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S.J., 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 J.S. Johnson Insurance.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
It's a serious fella, man.
Don't sleep on him.
I ain't gonna sleep on him.
Seriously, don't sleep on this boy.
Yes, sir.
He ain't got no heart at all. And they say teeth from teeth, God smile. I believe.
My mommy tell me that before.
I think you believe in that.
Brand new phone?
Where?
Can't find that. Time now? I just buy shit. New Jordans. Law missing? Just buy and sell my jeans. Oh. Cash for gold, got all my jeans.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. That was Father Fred, Bahamian Trey, and Ronnie Butler, Teef. And look here, Bahamian Trey is the most Bahamian rapper of all time. I just love the way that he insists on using his Bahamian English to rap in. Excuse me, ma'am. Dr. Seymour, how could you let me mispronounce doctor for the entire show?
Oh, no, I don't worry about that.
Okay, thank you.
Not at all.
Thank you. I just realized I've been to QC and I couldn't pronounce doctor. Please.
Not at all.
All right, so we have some text here, and that was one of the listeners who wanted to make sure that I show you the respect that you are owed with the expertise that you have displayed this morning. Okay, so I have a text here that text. I'm going to get to your text in a second. It says, love this topic. Is it problematic that most Bahamians think they speak English when they are really speaking Bahamian Creole? So are we really speaking Bahamian Creole, or are we speaking Bahamian English?
Yeah, so we have, most of us speak a Creole. Many of us speak both.
Okay,
because we can switch back and forth. My issue in terms of it being problematic is very practical. One, we want to be on the people who don't speak the Creole.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always good to have something else. And then the gentleman who called earlier, who said he always had problems learning English,
mm-hmm.
it becomes a problem with language policies. So in many parts of the world where there are Creoles, they teach English in a certain way, or they teach French in a certain way that incorporates the fact that certain students are not coming in fluent in English.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what my issue is with that. Yeah, it can be problematic in terms of disadvantaging ourselves in terms of the kinds of people we can communicate with effectively.
And the spaces that we can
even within in. The school system, using teaching strategies that aren't effective for all students. In the same way that you have teaching of English for second language for certain people.
Yes.
Not the exact same thing, but you have to target or tailor the English language arts, I think we call it, lessons to that. But we don't really do it. So, yeah, it can be problematic.
Right. And we need to teach young people the importance of understanding code switching.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yes. So I got a caller on the line from before the clock.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How you do?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'll make a statement, and I'd like for the linguistics master to comment, because English was kind of difficult for me to like Sparky, but Ms. Sheila Strawn, Father Strawn White, was my teacher, and Ms. Johnson at COB. So I kind of learned that English languages come out, I think, except Chinese and maybe some Arabic to a lesser extent. But I noticed that English, when I study entomology, you see Greek words,
mm-hmm.
and Latin and German, Germanic. And so when you learn history, mm-hmm. of Britain, and you learn the movements of people and the development of Britain, all these people are intermingled. And so mm-hmm. this language is very complex. So I always tell the Chinese and all these people who brag about their language, I say, my language is the master language. Now, I know some African words, but did they cognate languages? I mean, did colonization affect cognate languages, right? And I noticed in foreign languages, in studying the etymologies, you would see vowels in front of one, come together. So the word boy is really, I would classify, it sounds more like a French word to me, so I really, but I sent a text to you, and what I'm appalled about is the fact that we have turned a noun into an adjective by using the word suspect, and mm-hmm. I'm afraid that the word suspicious is gone into oblivion. I'll just hang up and listen.
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
right.
Yes.
Several things there. Mrs. Strawn was my English teacher at St. John's as well, high school. But so one of the, a certain kind of linguistics where we study the process of language. So Old English, if we look at Old English now, we can't recognize it. Mm-hmm. Middle English, we're kind of familiar with if you read any Shakespeare. And what we speak now is called Modern English. So again, this idea that there needs to be this consistency in language is misinformed. Language is not static. It's not static because people use it and we change the way in which we use it. So when the telephone was created, it was the noun. We needed a verb to use it. So we'd said telephone. We've changed it in English to call, but in French it's still téléphoner, and Spanish is still téléphonera. Uh-huh. So we don't want to get caught up in being too concerned about language change. Language change is natural. That's what's going to happen anyway. So what we used to say in the past, if that is no longer being said, that's not a problem. That's mm-hmm. that's what language is. That's the way languages work.
Yeah.
Not just English.
And even the British English is dealing with this. One word use that has changed is we say egregious.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the older or maybe mid English pronunciation or older English pronunciation is egregious.
I've never heard it, but it's possible.
Yeah. I've older Caribbean people know it as egregious.
Yeah.
Right. So I got a ton of text here.
One other thing, though.
Yeah.
Two vowels can come together. I'm not sure why that issue came up. There's nothing wrong with two vowels coming up, but this song is a vowel plus a what we call a glide, and they can come together as well. So I'm not quite sure what that discussion was. I think I might have said something that people misunderstood.
I understand. Another text here says, Swahili is the one language I learned to speak where every letter in a word is pronounced no matter what the word is. Well, I am glad there are no Swahili people in Wales. Finish a word.
Swahili. Yeah, so like I said, Spanish is very close as well to being a phonetic language. And because of that same reason,
mm-hmm.
with respect to Swahili, Swahili is usually a lingua franca in Africa, meaning everybody kind of learns it so that no matter where you go, somebody is going to speak it so that you'll be able to communicate with somebody.
All right. We've got
So, but there are very few languages that are phonetic.
All right.
Very few.
We've got one last caller. Caller, you have 30 seconds.
The right way to spell buig,
mm-hmm.
B-U-I-G-H. And whether two vowels connect or what, that's the spelling of it. That's the title of my new CD coming out.
B-U-I-G-H.
B-U-I-G-H is called Hey Boy.
But listen, I am going
okay.
to buy me a fake fur coat so you could pick me up for the premiere of your track, Boy, your album, Boy, because that's the bougiest spelling of Boy I've ever seen, and I am here for it.
And I'm telling you,
let me tell you how difficult it was for me. I just translated a short story, an English short story, into Bahamian. It's going to be published later this year. And I just used transcription because I could not come up with a proper spelling for it that non-Bahamians would be able to recognize what the word was.
Wow.
That is how difficult it is.
Right.
Do you think to understand that ui sound
all right.
in spelling?
We're all out of time, but do you think we can create the Bahamian Creole Bible the same way Jamaica created their Jamaican Patois Bible?
Yes, but yeah, we do. We have a dictionary of Bahamian English since 80. We've had one since 83.
Absolutely.
And online as well, anybody wants to check. Alice John Holm and Allison Schilling, it's online. But yeah, we can do that. In
all
the
right.
same way that I translated that story, we can translate. We just need to have the manpower, woman power, person power.
The boy power is what
yeah.
we need. Last question, is boy gender neutral? Boy is gender neutral, right?
Boy is gender neutral, yes
awesome.
It is.
Okay, Miss Dr. Seymour, thank you so much.
Not a problem. You have my contact.
Yes, and like she said, there's a dictionary online. There's also Yina, and it's a sequel. There's more Talking Bahamian, Talking Bahamian
oh, yes.
by Patricia Glinton McCullis, Yina by
Definitely.
Arlene Nash Ferguson, and How to Be a True, True Bahamian by Patricia
mm-hmm.
Glinton McCullis. Dr. Seymour, thank you so much. I have to go talk to this raccoon because he convinced me he didn't know what I was saying, but I knew what he was saying. Thank you so much. You've been On the Clock with Aaron. Your AM is up next with Cecil Newry. Thanks to my great producer. You guys have a great, cool day.